Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Social tenants living in a Dublin housing development, this is at the Newmarket Yards complex in Dublin 8, have hit out at Dublin City Council and the approved housing body TUA because they say they're being denied access to many of the building's amenities. And one of the tenants who wishes to remain anonymous is with me here on the programme today. Can you just explain the situation? What is the story there, first of all?
Well, I suppose primarily it's personal and then probably community-wise long-term. Personally, like, we are, as social tenants, we're segregated to a specific building and also on certain floors of that building. We're all grouped together and we're not allowed access to any of the other facilities, services, or buildings in the complex. Like, for example, if we even need to talk to management, we have to go to the main door and knock on the glass until someone lets us in. But so the personal issues for me, mainly being aware that we weren't even allowed, given the choice to use these facilities. Like, I have a disability. I was in a really bad motor accident. And I could really use the access to the gym and the sauna, for example, and the outdoor area, like for meditation and stuff. That would be really beneficial for me, and I'd love to avail of it, but when I inquired about it, I was told that simply we're not allowed and we're not given access to it.
And you were told that because you're a social housing tenant, is that right?
Specifically, yeah.
Okay.
I'm only social tenant. All the facilities, services include, like, I mean, there's a cinema, there's a dog park, there's a barbecue deck, there's internet, there's a library, there's study rooms, there's a community gathering room, there's a dining area room if you want to have a party or family over. Yeah, you know, all of that is included in the rent with private tenants, but we're not allowed to use any of that. And I believe it was because the government doesn't see that as necessary for us, you know, and they didn't want to pay for it. But, we weren't even given the option to pay for it ourselves, though, but...
I'm just curious there, because so my understanding, and we've asked Dublin City Council and the housing body for a statement in relation to this. My understanding is that they have a lease agreement for the residential property, you know, for basically accommodation. They have a lease agreement with the housing body for accommodation and not the use of the social amenities and facilities that are there within the complex. Yeah. Right. You know, so, and when you say, you know, you even the option to pay, would you be happy to contribute or to pay something to use?
Yeah.
You would. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to do my physio and stuff in my room and, you know, it would be great to have access to a gym right next door. So, it's also the long-term issue as well, because, I mean, this has been predicted since 2022, and the residential, I think it was by the Dublin Inquirer, or RTE News, actually, sorry, it was in 2022, it was predicted that this would become an issue, and it is becoming an issue, and it's been, across the country, there's been a number of cases, but the long-term effect of that would mean, you know, social tenants will be continuously segregated. Antisocial issues might develop. There's tensions now between the private and public tenants. We're not allowed to, like, we don't, like, interact with them, like, you know, we don't have a community kind of atmosphere.
Are you in a separate block, is it?
Yeah, we're in a separate block on three floors of that block, and the rest are private tenants, which we're not allowed access to.
So
we're just saying that long-term issues, this is going to grow and grow and grow.
Okay.
Also, we're not allowed to buy our own home or pass it on to our children if we should pass. It goes back to the government as well. So also, social tenants are probably no longer going to be able to build their own home because single home construction has pretty much come to a standstill. It's because of the residential density guidelines of 2009. Mostly large apartment complexes are only being built.
Okay, well, look, we'll leave it there for the moment, and thank you for getting in touch with us today to share your concerns with us. 1800 453 106 is the number. That's one resident at the apartment complex we're talking about who wishes to remain anonymous. People Before Profit councillor for the Ballyfermot Drimna area, Hazel de Nortoon, is with me here on the line today. Hazel, what's your concerns?
Well, it's just as your speaker had said there, I've been onto the council on numerous occasions about different apartment complexes that either the government is buying up totally and is bringing in an approved housing body to manage that totally, which will just have public tenants. But in this case, if there is a mix between private and public tenants, that there is no access to the amenities. And just to say about Newmarket Yard, that was a build-to-rent facility, and within the plan and process, the reason that we were allowed built to rent was because we were reducing the size of the apartments for the private space, that they had to have more public space. So this is why they had more of those amenities in there. And as the speaker had said as well, in different developments, other tenants would have been told, look, there is these extra facilities here. They're obviously harder to maintain. If you want to give more money towards using them, you can. But the price that they were given was €250 a month, which is obviously, you know, excessive if you were to look at a gym membership. So it just seems to be any time that they're trying to get more closer to accessing these facilities, there's just more barriers put in place. But in this particular case, they weren't even allowed to discuss.
But to be fair to Dublin City Council, like, they have the duty and an obligation here to provide accommodation to social housing tenants, and that is what they've done, Hazel. They have provided accommodation.
Yeah, and this is the gap, though. This has been identified. So if you're looking at Dublin City Council and you're speaking directly to the housing department, they are fulfilling their brief. But there is a space here within the community department, and Dublin City Council fought to put in their development plan that any large-scale apartment block that was coming in, that they'd have 5% community and cultural space. And we're in breach of our own development plan, because if it's a space that is full with an approved housing body or public tenants in it, those retail spaces aren't filled, because the housing department says, well, we only have a fund for residential, we don't have those spaces. So we have gyms and creches and community spaces left idle, and nobody's taken up that gap to fill them. Or in this space here, it's been identified that the size of the apartments are much smaller, therefore you need more public amenity space, and they're saying, we're not even discussing this because we fulfilled our housing brief. So there's a gap there, and this is why I suppose it's important to be discussing now, is this isn't going to go away. There's obviously now been a breach. If a developer is coming forward with a planning application, and to be approved on that plan and application, they have to provide facilities for creche, gym or whatever it may be, and they just tick that box in the planning application. Nobody's stepping in after that to make sure that that's fulfilled. Yeah, so this should be a case for everybody across the country.
Okay, look, there's nobody from Dublin City Council here, and to reiterate again, yeah, we don't have somebody from the council here with us in the programme today. We've asked them for a statement. We have asked the housing body too as well. I do have a statement from them, and I'll bring that to you in a moment. But when you talk about a community space, I mean, like, to be fair to other residents living in social housing complexes across the country, not just in Dublin, like, do the local authority really need to provide an internet access to the library room, the cinema room and saunas? Like, is that...
No, but see, this is because that was a bill to rent. So if this in Newmarket Yards, this is particular in that case. Not all other services will have that. All of the other 5% and after that point, after the bill to rent, has just been either a creche, because anything over 75% units has to have a creche, or a gym. It has to be 5% of that build. So that after that, if you were to look at the likes of a library, internet, a sauna, anything, obviously people would say, look, that's excessive when you're just looking at basic amenities. And as you said, these tenants were asking even if they could have access to it. Nobody's blaming Dublin City Council per se, as in, like, I think this is something that maybe in our rush to build units for the housing crisis that we're in, that we have just found this gap now that we need to realise, look, how do we sustain communities? And this is where I would come at for. It's not about pointing fingers. It's like, look, we have identified a problem here. Can we please get together and figure out how this is sustainable long term? Because some of the issues are coming up in developments now, 2 and 3 years in. This is really becoming a problem now, where people throw at me all the time, we don't want another Ballymun. But what was the problem with Ballymun? It wasn't exactly the people that went in or the units. It was the infrastructure that never came behind us to sustain communities like that and large-scale developments.
I was reading in the Irish Independent earlier this morning, and a spokesperson there from the housing body had previously said that there was a cafe on the ground floor of the Newmarket Yards Clay House that is open to everybody. Everybody has access to that. Members of the public have access to it between 8 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I would think that negotiating access to a gym and sauna facilities. I have to be honest, Hazel, I would have thought that fell outside the requirements of social housing.
Well, this would be the case of, well, then should we have had the reduction in the size of units, which wouldn't have meant that they had
needed. When you say the reduction, how big are these apartments the houses we're talking about?
I don't know the size, and because it actually had moved beyond the bill to rent, had moved beyond quick enough after that, but there has been discretion that they were extremely small to what we had started off before the change in legislation, okay. And that's how they had got it passed. Similar to student accommodation as well, they had large scale amenities as well because of that. That's, so if they didn't want to provide those services, well then they shouldn't have provided bill to rent. That was a stipulation for those developments to go ahead. So it's nothing got to do with the tenants per se. They are on the housing list. They apply to, like anybody does, okay. Or renting,
okay.
Or anyone does.
Stay with me for a moment. I've Derek White. Derek's a town planner and he's here with us on the line, Hazel, today as well. Like, Derek, is Hazel right about this? Is this going to become an issue for local authorities? You know, it was a bigger issue for local authorities across the country in terms of the access to social amenities and external, you know, extra curricular facilities that are often provided at some complexes.
Yes, absolutely. Hazel is correct. The focus was on providing housing, and there's a disconnect between the legislation and the planning permission. So that you don't necessarily have to provide gyms and saunas, but you can be sure that the gyms and saunas were provided as part of a holistic planning application for that entire development. So it seemed to be very unfair to segregate people based on their social status in that development. But it's definitely going to happen unless planners start conditioning that this can't be done. And that's the easy solution to it. Just from the very start, you condition that there can be no social segregation whatsoever in the development. And that'll go a long way towards solving this problem.
Yeah, but if you're a social housing tenant at this particular complex that we're talking about today at Newmarket Yard, and then you're a social housing tenant 300 metres, I don't know, for sake of argument, say, right, in another housing estate or apartment complex or facility up the road, you know, how do you square the circle if some tenants get access to saunas and libraries and others don't?
You have to be very clear at the very start, Andrea. You can be sure that if it was said in the planning application that the people who will be living in the Part 5 social housing will not have access to the gym or the sauna, you can be guaranteed that every planner in Ireland would say, no, that's not going to happen. We can't allow that. So that obviously wasn't happened. So you can see where there's a little bit of a loophole here between the legislation and the planning conditions where this was allowed to happen. It shouldn't happen. The Part 5 development is to allow, and I'll just quote from it, it says the need to counteract undue segregation in housing between persons of different social background. So you shouldn't be able to determine who's living in a social apartment in any development. So
no, to be fair to the developers in this instance, I mean, their job is to put, you know, to bricks up and build the houses and the apartments and to build the complex. And that's exactly what they've done. They've met the requirements in terms of what they've had to do. Dublin City Council, I mean, if they were here with us, I'm going to hazard a guess that they'd say, well, our obligation, we're obliged to look after the housing needs. And that's what we've done. We've managed to do that. And then we've asked TUA for a statement on this because they're the housing body and they have responsibility around, I suppose, who's going into it. And they say they've got in touch with us in a statement to say, important to emphasise that TUA did not design the access structure. It doesn't own the amenities or control access policy. This is a structural ownership lease issue. TUA's role is to manage the homes under its remit and support residents within the framework of those agreed arrangements. Also, just in the statement, this is also the statement, sorry, I mentioned that they provided to the Independent yesterday. The Newmarket Yard is a multi-block development with separate ownership and management arrangements. Certain amenities are privately operated as part of a distinct management structure attached to other blocks and sit outside TUA's ownership or control. Access arrangements reflect the ownership and lease structure of the development rather than a distinction based on the tenancy type. And that is the end of the statement from TUA this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us about this, drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. I don't know whether you're surprised or not to hear this, right? Mixed views on this in WhatsApp today from listeners. I'll give you a flavour of them. Can't believe my ears. Private tenants paying a fortune in fees for these facilities. Now social tenants want saunas and gyms for free. I think it's such entitlement off the scales. Another listener. I'm sorry, but if you want to go to the gym or use amenities, I have to pay. The private tenants are paying extra for these extra facilities. I find this ridiculous. Another texter tells us, seriously, social tenants are paying a fraction of the rent and the renters in the private apartments. They can't expect for taxpayers to pay for gym membership and private cinemas. And yes, then there's some other text messages from listeners making the point today that absolutely all tenants living in the apartment complex should have access to all of the amenities and facilities. So there you go. You can make up your own mind. You can email us lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. Derek White, town planner, people before profit councillor, Hazel de Nortoon. And my thanks also to the anonymous tenant who did ring in. 1800 453 106 is the number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.